Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. We're so excited to have you with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or so-ish, 8-ish. And we are sharing with you, I'm the facilitator, and our lead instructor is Minister Eric Jefferson Barnett. And tonight we are celebrating the new year. We have a host of panelists who are with us to help dialogue. As the Bible says, come and let us reason together. So as we gather to preach and to learn God's word, we ask that you join us, send in questions. If you would like to participate, feel free to call in now at 646-478-4932. 646-478-4932. And we're having, as always, our devotion. And we start off with a prayer. We're going to have a song. We'll have scripture, two readings. And then we will have what we call prayer of petition and will we pray for other people? I can't think of the
word
tonight. Thank you. Intercessory prayer. And after that, we will do a roll call, and Brother Eric will take us on through the book, Revelations 10 through 11, to review. So join us now as we start off in prayer. God, we come before you. We celebrate you. We magnify you. We've learned through Revelations to lift you up and say, holy, 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 Lord, thou God art mighty. And because of that, we celebrate you. We come before your throne. We are bent down, our hearts beneath our knees. We come prostrate in our hearts to let you know how awesome and wonderful you are. We serve a worthy God, a God who is omnipotent, omniscient, and all-powerful, all-knowing. And we praise you, O God, for being all those things to us. As we gather tonight, Lord, we ask that you be with us. Give us revelation knowledge. Help us to understand the word of God so that we can take it out and share it. Lord, help us to bring somebody to the Bible study. Each of us should bring no less than one person with us every week, because time is short, Lord, and we want to make sure that everybody gets an opportunity to know you. We praise your name. We glorify you as we go forward in this study of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus the Christ and the victory which is his and ours. Amen.
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 Amen. So at this point, we're going to go ahead and have a song by Yolanda Adams. Song by Yolanda Adams.
Disappointing you, for I need to talk to you.
and asking for your guidance, especially today when my life is so cloudy. Guide me until I'm sure
Shirley, and I'm reading from the King James Version. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and vision of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, second like a bear, it was raised up and one side and had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, arise, devour much flesh. After this, I looked, and there was another like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird.
Can you hear me, please?
I'm sorry.
Sorry, I didn't mean
Okay. Would you unmute your phones, please? Go ahead, Shirley.
I turned it off.
Okay,
sorry.
I'm going to start back with number 6, verse 6. After this, I looked, and there was another, like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night vision, and behold, a 4th beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom 3 of the 1st horns were plucked out by the roots. And there, in this horn, were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the ancient ancient of days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times, 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the book was opened. If I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking, I watched till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I was watching in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the ancestors of days, and they brought him near before. Then to him was given dominion and glory and kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the vision of my head troubled me. I came near to one of those who stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. Those great beasts, which are 4 kings which arose out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I wish I know the truth about the 4th beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured, broken in pieces, and trampled the residue with its feet, and the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up before which there, which three fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces. The ten horns are ten kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first one, and shall subdue three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute and persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall be intent and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and time and half a time. But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. This is the end of the account. As for me, David, my thoughts greatly trouble me, and my continuance changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his words.
Amen.
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 And what is the Romans now?
Romans 9, 1 through 33.
Thank you. The reading of the Lord is the reading of the Bible is the gospel is Romans 9 to 1 to 33. God's sovereign choice. Lord of mine. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrows and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race, the people of Israel. There is the adoption of sons. There is the divine glory, the covenant, the receiving of the law, the temple worship and the promises. There is our patriarch, and from them is traced the human ancestry of Christ, who is God over all. Forever praised. Amen. It is not as though God's word had failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offsprings will be reckoned. In other words, it is not the natural children who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. For this was how the promise was stated. At the appointed time, I will return, and Sarah will have a son. Not only that, but Rebekah's children have one and the same father, our father Isaac. Yet, before the twins were born or had done anything good or bad. Sorry about that. In order that God's purpose in election might stand, not by words, but by him who calls. She was told, the older will serve the younger, just as it is written, Jacob I love, but Esau I hated. What then shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all, for he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not therefore depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Therefore, God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to pardon. One of you will say to them, then why does God still blame us? For who resists his will? But who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for noble purposes and some for common use? What if God, choosing to show his wrath and make his power known before with great patience the objects of his wrath, prepared for destruction? What if he did this to make the riches of his glory? Even us, whom he all called, not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles. As he says to Hosea, I will call them my people who are not my people, and I will call her my loved one who is not my loved one. And I will happen that in the very place where it was said to them, you are not my people, they will be called sons of living God. Isaiah cries out concerned Israel. Though the number of the Israelites be like the sand by the sea, only the remnant will be saved. For the Lord will carry out his sentence on earth with speed and finality. It is just as Isaiah said previously. Unless the Lord Almighty has left us descendants, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been like Gomorrah. What then shall we say? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness has obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith. But Israel, who pursued a law of righteousness, has not attained it. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if they were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written, the word of the Lord.
Amen, amen. I want to stop for a second as we are in devotions. I ask for a little bit of etiquette, and that is that anyone who has a speakerphone on, please turn it off. That causes the echo in the studio. So if you have a speakerphone, please turn it off. You can use a headset, but the speakerphone causes the echo in the studio. So, and if all of you will put your phones on mute until you get ready to speak, and that way we won't have the background noise if you get family talking to dogs barking, TV on. So, and that way it won't interrupt the study. So at this point, I'm going to ask if we could have the prayer, intercessory prayer.
Let's get together and bring our concerns and our petitions before the Lord tonight. Let's do it as a family. Let's do this as brothers and sisters through Jesus Christ our Lord. And let's approach him together. So does anyone out there have a petition or petitions to bring before the Lord tonight?
Yeah, this is Eric. I want to uplift my mother and her health. My Uncle WB is dealing with his dementia. Uncle Wendell, who's behind her nursing home but is COVID-free at this time. My Uncle Dwayne and his health, and his mother-in-law passed away on the 1st of January, so I want to uplift his wife and the Brooks family and the loss of their mother. And I also want to uplift this country as we prepare to move forward, and that God would have his way. God tells us in his word that he set the governments up and he put people in places to do those things. If you read Romans 13, you'll find that to be true. So I'm asking God's grace and mercy over this country and the government moving forward.
This is Shirley. I'd like to uplift my brother-in-law, Milton Pitts, my sister-in-law, Ella Pitts, my mother, Mary Brooks, in their health and well-being, and my family as a whole, and also seeking God's guidance and getting us through this administration, this world, this COVID, and just cover everybody who may be afflicted with it.
Does anyone else have a concern or a petition to bring before the Lord in prayer?
This is Joan in Maine. I also want to uplift some such destruction when it comes to being focused on what of God is all about, and to understand more about how to overcome all of this, as well with the family that who's being attacked, the ones who is having a problem. I guess I cannot really say what kind of problem, but it is really an issue. But I think it is because it is all the distractions and what the negative is trying to do. So I need to uplift. I like to uplift everybody else and that the whole world as well, to learn how to overcome, to learn more about God, and for us more to be stronger.
Who else may have something to bring before our Lord?
This is Dr. Susie. Just asking for prayer for my family and myself, and that we might grow in the Bible study, and not just grow numerically, but that we would grow in our spirits, that everything that God is trying to teach us, that we will grasp it and hold it and use it to magnify the Lord. Understanding that, you know, it's really not just about us choosing not to bring someone else in for the Bible study. It's about us choosing not to help save another soul, because God is coming back, and we have to be very, very, very intentional about making sure that we're sharing it, so the people that we love, the people that God loves, all God's folks, need to have that relationship and be exposed. You know, if they don't want to join our Bible study, no problem. Just get them in a Bible study. Get them learning. Get them focused so that they will have the opportunity to have a relationship with the Lord. So add me, my children, and direction. Thank you.
Who else may have something for us to bring before the Lord? This is Brian from Maine. My petition and prayer tonight will be for families to unite against the onslaught of evil and confusion and torment that we feel spreading throughout our societies. We can feel the enemy try to splinter things apart, trying to cause divisions within family, separation between friends. I just ask that people are able to overcome that, and through prayer and through a relationship with Christ, that they're able to be unified as families rather than adversaries. Does anyone else have anything? Okay, so let's bring these petitions before the Lord. Holy Lord God, our King, your majesty is far more than we can understand. And we humbly approach you. We approach the throne of grace with many requests tonight. Many of us have ourselves and with friends and family diseases and health issues. It's always a concern. But we can see as we get older, these concerns are greater and greater as there are more diseases. The diseases become more dangerous. Lord, we ask for protection for ourselves as members of this Bible study family. We ask for protection for our family and for our friends from this onslaught of malaise. Please help us. Lord, in general, we ask for protection from evil for everybody in this study, not just now, but as we proceed through the night, as we proceed through sleep and through tomorrow, we ask for your ongoing blessing of protection against evil. So much destruction comes from it. So much change happens. But we know that all good comes from you, and we just pray that we have a fair measure of grace from you in that way. And just Lord, protect us in our travels and protect us in what we say to others. Help us be mindful of you whenever we interact with any human being. Lord, I ask you to help us during this study. I pray for clarity, for purpose, and for understanding and discretion as we hear about your word through the book of Revelation. Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. So at this time, just asking that, you know, you would keep those prayers lifted up and that you would be intentional to see who God is putting on your heart to invite to share what you're learning about Revelations with through the week. Because when God gives us something, it's not for us to keep, it's for us to share. So we ask that you, you know, do that in your families first, and then take it out and share it with all those that God's putting on your heart. So with that in mind, let's find out who we have on the road. Who's in the studio tonight?
This is Shirley in Maryland.
Brian from Maine.
Mateo from Maine.
Welcome,
Amy,
brother.
From Maine.
Welcome,
Brett,
sister.
From Indianapolis.
Go ahead and say Naptown, Brett.
Thank you, sir.
Amen, amen. We have a studio that's full tonight. And so I am going to ask, I'm going to take a quick moment, and I'm going to ask that the 301 number go out and call back in because we're getting background noise. And we'll try to take care of that one. Other than that, we are ready to go. So let's go, let's go, let's go. Brother Eric.
Welcome, everyone. Good evening. Glad to have all of you with us. Tonight we're going to do a review of chapter 10 and 11. And if we have time, we'll get into chapter 12. I'm going to admit, I'm not going to rush, because did any of y'all read chapter 12? Anybody?
No.
Nobody? Yeah, because chapter 12 might give you nightmares. So if we get into it, I'll just start. But if you don't, want y'all to go ahead and read that one during the course of the next week, because, yeah, it's getting interesting. So last week we started our review at chapter 6 with the breaking of the first six seals, and this is the start of the tribulation, the 7-year tribulation that John is beginning to write about. And we know that the first four were dealing with horses, the white horse with the rider on it, who had a bow but didn't have any arrows, had a crown, which means that he gained victory without war. The second horse was a red horse, which meant war, and it had a sword for slaughtering people. The third horse on the when the seal was broken was a black horse that dealt with devastation and want of crops and food, pestilence, if you will. And then the fourth horse was the pale gray horse with death and gray in the grave followed behind it. And so these four horses, these four apocalyptic riders, as most call it, were able to kill 1/4 of the population from famine and disease and wild animals. And then the fifth seal was broken, and the fifth seal was kind of a question and answer of a question and answer of two different types. There was the first one was the souls in heaven that were under the altar who asked the Lord, "How long before you avenge us?" And he says, "Just a little while till your fellow brothers and sisters have been martyred." And then the second one was on the sixth seal was this devastation and this great earthquake that was so severe that the islands disappeared, the mountains were cut down, and all the kings and all the people of the earth was so frightened that they asked the rocks of the mountains to cover them because they did not want to see the wrath of the Lamb. And so you got this response where the fifth and sixth seal is heaven and earth. And then we go into this interlude after kind of God showing his grace and mercy that even in the midst of all of this devastation and tribulation, that he still wants people to accept him and Jesus and their authority as their personal savior. And so the first part of it came along with what in chapter 7? Anybody remember the sealing of how many?
147.
The seal was put on the forehead of how many people?
144,000.
Correct. Mm-hmm. 144,000. Now, also tell me, who were those 144,000?
Because
this is important, because we get a lot of misunderstanding about this 144,000.
They were the tribes of Israel.
Yep.
Correct. Absolutely correct. They were of the tribe of Israel. They were not of the church as a whole. They were specifically of the tribes of Israel. And there were 12. But these 12 listed in 7 are different from those listed in Deuteronomy. Does anybody know why? There's a slight difference in the names listed in 7 and the ones that in Deuteronomy 28, I believe. Does anybody know, remember why? Two were omitted and two were added. Two new names, two different names are in 7, Levi and Joseph. Missing from 28 is Ephraim and Dan. Anybody remember why that is? Man, y'all had way too much New Year's.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to do some work. I can't do both.
Okay, so Dan and Ephraim were a part of some idolatry that went along in the Old Testament that was pretty severe. And Levi is added back in because, remember, Levi didn't have an actual Levi was not given an actual part of the property because Levi's job was going to be the priest, and they were going to take care of the sanctuary, the tabernacle, and the temple. And so God adds them back in, and he also adds Joseph back in because Joseph's inheritance was split between his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. So that's why that is. And so God seals this 144,000 who are of the tribe of Israel, and we need to remember that because there's a lot of confusion about that. And so then God goes on to the vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation, and they were shouting with a mighty shout, "Salvation comes from our God on the throne and from the Lamb." And so now here's where you begin to see as well the multitude is now praising Jesus along with God. You see it a little bit in chapter 5, but you see it again here in chapter 7. And that's important because it's all about praise and worship, and now Christ is being revealed as a true heir to God's throne. Then he breaks the seventh seal, and in the seventh seal there's this, again, this evilness that's getting ready to start taking place. And God is letting us know in the first part that our prayers are important. They're mixed with the incense, and they're a sweet aroma to God. And he wants us to understand that he answers our prayers. He may not answer them in the time that we think he needs to answer them, but he answers the prayers, and they're most important to him. So they are mixed at the gold altar that is in heaven. And the altar and throne room in heaven, the temple, let me see how I can ask this. I know I can ask this. So when you get a picture of the temple in heaven, have we ever seen that temple before on earth?
Yes.
Yes? Where?
In the temple that David built.
In the temple that David built. Did we see it anyplace else?
In a picture.
No, we saw it before David built it. Well, actually, Solomon built it. David wanted to build it, but Solomon built it.
Right.
But we saw it before then. But they didn't call it a temple. They called it a tabernacle.
Tabernacle.
Remember when Moses was in the wilderness, God gave him the plan to build a tabernacle. The tabernacle, which was going to be big, which was a moving tent, basically. But if you go back and you read through that, God told Moses, build it exactly like I'm telling you, because it is exactly like that is in heaven. So that altar that is in heaven was also the altar that was used in the temple and in the tabernacle. So then we get to these first four trumpets. Now, mind you, the sealed tribulation was less extreme than the trumpet tribulation, and the trumpet tribulation is less extreme than the bowl tribulation that we're going to start studying in about another 2 weeks. So now it's getting more severe. The first four trumpets, man, it deals with the natural disasters. The earth, the grass, the salt water, the fresh water, the sky, the sun, the moon, they're all affected. And by so they're all affected. And the fifth trumpet begins the demonic phases. So what was the first one? Anybody remember? Dr. Susie remembers the cartoons and the Terminator eye. So what was the fifth trumpet? What was the first demonic presence that we absolutely see unfold in Revelation 9 in the first 12 verses? What did they really hate to see back in those days that could devastate the crops and all of that of Egypt and Canaan and Judah?
Locusts.
Right. So you get these locusts that you can't count. That's like an army. They look like horses, armed for battle. They had gold crowns, human faces, hair like a woman, teeth like lion's teeth. They wore armor. And they stung. They tormented people for how long?
Was
I'm
like
telling
God
you,
months?
I had way too much New Year celebration.
5 months.
Five months. Couldn't kill them. They couldn't kill people, but they could torment them for 5 months. Agony, pain.
Amen.
You ever been in so much pain you just wanted to lay down and say, oh, just take me because I can't stand no more? 5 months. And then in the sixth trumpet, the second terror. And what was that? What did those beasts look like? 13 through 21. Horses head. There were horses with heads like lions. Fire, smoke, and burning sulfur billowed from their mouths. They had tails that had snakes.
Like serpents.
Right. And there were 200 million. 200 million of them. And they could kill. And so by the time the sixth trumpet has sounded, one half of the earth's population will be dead.
Right.
And do you think the other half decided that they was going to truly worship God and accept God as sovereign and Jesus as Lord?
You would think that would do it, but no.
why do you think that is? Why do you think that happens? That so many of us, and I'm just going to use that loosely tonight. I mean, we're all believers here ascribe to be believers, I think. Why is it that in the world that we see so much damage and destruction and plays out, and yet we still won't come to the realization that God is in charge?
This is Brother Mateo. The reason why,
yes.
The reason why a lot of people still won't turn to God, and the reason why, like, no matter what happens, is because the enemy knows that this is going to happen, because we have the Bible, so he has the Bible, he knows. So just like with all the things that are happening right now, they're camouflaging these things as something else. So a lot of people are not really going to understand what's happening or understand that it's coming from the Lord. They already taken the Bible out of school and out of everywhere else. So people who already don't have knowledge of the Bible are definitely not going to know what's going on. But the majority of things, the point of this is the majority of things that are happening, evil men are camouflaging them as something else.
Hey, man. And I, this is Eric, and I submit one other thing, too, is that a personal relationship, a relationship with God and Jesus is personal. It's not done through the masses. Because God has pricked your heart and touched you specifically. And we read that in Romans 9. God has mercy on who God wants to have mercy on. It's his choice. And if he pricks our heart and we answer the call, then we're fine. But there are those who he pricks their heart and they don't come. And so they face whatever they face. But you don't hear of the masses being saved. It's an individual relationship. And so even in the midst of all they're seeing, most what people say, well, it wasn't me, so ain't no big deal.
Amen.
So let me go on with my murder and my witchcraft and my immorality and my theft and my fornication,
right,
and my whatever I am doing.
Right.
They didn't get me, so it's all good. I mean, you heard people say that. Well, it wasn't on me.
Right.
And they don't stop to change.
Right.
They don't stop to reflect.
This is Brian.
And so then we get to chapter 10. And we get to
you
the
get
small scroll.
Eric, you got Brian trying to get in.
Yes.
Hi. This is Brian from Maine. I've been in prayer for a while now, probably a couple of months, asking the Lord to guide me for the right time to share some information with this study, which I have from 1977 and 1978, a long time ago.
Well, let's hear it.
And during your discussion a few minutes ago, the Lord told me that this is it. This is the right time.
Well, let's hear it, brother.
There is a very easy to understand and simple explanation of why many people, given all of these signs, all this turmoil, all of this pressure, which happens during the Book of Revelation, why these people will stand firm and resist the Lord and just get caught up in evil, and it's. There are many ways to describe it. One easy way to describe it is the New Age movement or the New Age flow that's happening, which is really the satanic flow, which is happening. I was saved in 1979. Before having that salvation experience, I was studying to be a New Age priest. So I was studying that philosophy and know quite a bit about what's behind it. And I've been able to kind of watch what's happening in that area of society since then, as a Christian man would view it. But what we were taught was very fundamental, and it was that there really are two armies, there really are two camps. There's the camp of God the Father and Jesus Christ, and there's the camp of Satan and his followers. Satan doesn't like to be called Satan, so the New Age people call him Lucifer, or Lucifer means light. Lucifer means the light bringer. The reason New Age people and therefore evil followers follow the teachings of Satan is they're taught this. God wants you to worship him, and Jesus is helping God for you to become worshipers of him and subject to him. Satan, on the other hand, is teaching people to be like him. Satan says, I'm a god. I want you also to be a god and have power and dominion and control and be able to develop your soul into a godlike or godly character like God the Father or Jesus. Follow me, and I'll show you how to be a god and worship yourself and gather strength and power from people around you through sin and through self-reliance and through sexual intercourse and through all kinds of what we call sins. They call power-gathering activities. So the sinful nature becomes a strengthening of the person rather than destruction of the person. And that's the lure that evil and New Age has to pull people into it. And that's why these people in the end times are going to be standing firm, because what they're taught is the more they stand up against Jesus and the more they stand up against God, the greater their reward will be after death.
It's going to be a great reward, burning in fire forever.
There you go.
Yeah. Right.
Hey, Brian, thank you. Thank you. Because that helps a lot, because last week before we got off, we kind of got in this discussion about whether Satan had power or not. And I submit, and still submit, and even more after some additional reading, that God didn't take Satan's power away when he left heaven. And we all have power, but they missed the point, because if you go, and I want you to bear with me just a second. He's telling them that he can help them to be gods and this, that, and the other, but Genesis 1, then God said, let us make people in our image and to be like ourselves. Then God said, let us make people in our image to be like ourselves. They will be masters over all life, the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the livestock and wild animals, small animals. So God created people in his own image. God patterned them after himself. Male and female, he created them. So Satan is lying to them again, because if you're made in God's image, then you are to be like God, but God doesn't say that you need to do all of this evil stuff.
Hey, this brother Matthias to me. I like to add on to what Brother Brian was saying. It's 100% accurate, guys. And I know I study that stuff a lot too, and what he said was accurate. Actually, thank you, because he opened up another door for me with that on some other stuff. But another thing that's happening is science. A lot of these people are using science to disprove God. So what they use, science to a certain degree is okay, but a lot of science, like you take an example, like they talk about these galactic things. They said that Jesus is going to come in his majesty, and he's going to come with an army, and there's going to be war. So now people are preparing for a space war, a war without us, you know, beings out of place. So this is how man is getting fooled into thinking they're fighting something that's coming to take over this world, when yet they're going to be pulling up their armies against the Lord himself. That's some things to think about, how science is tricking people into believing other things along with the New Age movement. I think, honestly, my opinion, I believe they work hand in hand.
Is that a part of the Blue Project? Can you hear me?
Go ahead, Mateo, but Brian will share about Project Blue Beam. Brian will share about Project Blue Beam when you're done, Mateo.
Yes, sir. What did she ask me? I'm sorry. What did you ask me, sis?
I asked you, was that a part of the Project Blue, what Brian was talking about?
Yes, ma'am. It definitely is, and so is CERN. If we look at the Bible and really look at it, the he with ears can hear and eyes can see, we can see the things that are happening in the Bible right here on earth and being done by men. Just like the conversation we had a minute ago, we was talking about all of these things, what happened and men still wouldn't turn to God. And Baldoni didn't say that men wouldn't turn to God because they hated God or disliked God or didn't want to serve God. It just said they wouldn't. So if it says they wouldn't, then we need to look at why and then look at what's going on today. All the trickery on television, all the deceit on television and the lies and, you know, television, tell a vision, programming, channels, it's witchcraft. So programming, channels, television, a vision, think about this, it's witchcraft. You have a black mirror for witchcraft, so you got a black television. It's not trying to be weird, but they're doing all of this stuff to us, and we keep looking for this beast coming out of the water that's going to have this and that, instead of looking at the 10 kingdoms that the crowns represent, like Jesus said. So man is doing a lot of this stuff, and we just need to pay attention so we know the signs of the time. Thank you.
Awesome.
And Brother Mateo is correct. And Dr. Susie, did you want me to proceed briefly about Project Blue Beam?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes.
Okay.
a
little bit about my background. My background has been very high level information technology, information security for 33 years. I was really blessed to be one of the elite information technology people in the United States. I have many friends who started doing what I was doing when I was in my 20s and are now in their 50s and 60s like I am. And many of them have become part of the Project Blue Beam scenario, which is essentially an incredibly intricate, very well-connected network. On Earth we have computers that are connected to the internet, and those computers speak to each other through servers, through landlines, and through wireless technology, and we're all familiar with that. There also has been, by over 50 countries, a network of satellites and special types of technology in a matrix around the Earth, and they tie into cellular towers, and they tie into other types of transmitters, so that in the end, there'll be the opportunity to have grand-scale deceptive videos, which can happen, and even holograms, which can happen for the purpose of making it look like there's millions of craft in the sky that aren't really real. So that's what the Project Blue Beam thing is. It's all part of this deception to convince people to not look towards faith, but to look towards earthly and material solutions for the future. And, you know, there are no long-term material solutions for the future. It's all the Lord, it's all faith, and it's all spiritual.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Brother Mateo and Brother Brian.
Yeah, that's interesting. That is very interesting.
Hey, Brother Eric.
Yes, go ahead.
Hey, brother, before you start back, I just want to say the last thing and go with what Brother Brian was saying. they hide the truth in plain sight because they have to tell the truth with the lie. So we have to be able to know somehow. The biggest telescope in the world is owned by the Vatican. And do you know what the name of it is?
Yeah.
It's called Lucifer. So that's why they say if you seek, you shall find. Like, this stuff is right in front of us. The biggest telescope in the world is called Lucifer, and it's owned by the Vatican. Like, it's right in our face.
Well, it is. It's good that you guys are. This is Johnny Maine. It's good that you guys are sharing that, because it's a lot deeper than that, and it's affirm everything as well. It's hard to speak when nobody could understand all that, but I'm glad that you guys are open now.
Well,
we need to be open-minded to understand. We have to go further and check everything, because it is a lot of deceit, and also connected in the old times. It was implanted it will grow for this time to use it as a deception at this time of age. And in the meantime,
this is Eric. It's Lucifer, Satan, the devil has always been about deception.
Correct.
He wanted to come as an angel of light and appear as an angel of light, but he's not. He is not.
Okay.
And so it's all about that. And so when we look at chapter 10 in the angel in the small scroll, John sees his angel standing on the shore, on the land, and on the sea, and he has the continuance of Jesus, but it's not Jesus, it's an angel. And he gave a great shout and a roar like a lion, and he gave a pledge and to God, an oath to God. And before he gave that oath, the seven thunders spoke, and John was going to write it down, but the angel said, don't write that down, because it was not yet to be revealed to the earth what they said.
Right.
Because God didn't want, this is Eric, and this is my perspective, and so just bear with me. So the reason that the seven thunders, what they said was not written down, because God did not want the next part of the plan to be let go. The angel, if you remember way back when Christ got the scroll, the seven sealed scroll, at one point there was 30 minutes of silence in heaven after he broke the seven seal, which meant that God's plan had been revealed. And everybody could see it that was in heaven. And I've asked this question, have you ever heard or seen something that just made you speechless? Well, when they saw it, they were for 30
years.
Yes, that's right.
And so then God then proceeds to the tribulation, and then he gives this interlude. He's giving people an opportunity to come to him, and here's another opportunity for them to do that. So he says, don't write it down, because they don't need to know right now.
Right.
He says, but John, what I want you to do is I want you to go take this scroll from the angel, and I want you to do what with it?
Eat it.
He said, eat it. He said, and it's going to taste like what in your mouth?
Honey.
Honey.
And what's
like
it going to be like when it gets to your stomach?
Bitter.
Why do you think that is?
This is Brian from Maine. I think this point interleaves with what you just said, Eric. As human beings, it's easy to become impressed by what we can accomplish, the technology we can build, the software we can write, the incredibly impressive result of that technology. But it's only impressive because we're so small, and it's only impressive because we're so limited. So we can do great things in our own minds. We can be impressed by angels who will be able to do wondrous signs in the heavens and on earth. They're going to do miracles. They're going to do all kinds of things which are going to be very impressive to us mere human beings. But keep in mind that they're up against an infinite God who at some point will come back and literally take the thousands of years of deception, hundreds of years of technology development, dozens of years of final plans, and body slam the whole thing all at once.
Amen. This is Dr. Susie. So one of the big things that it's trying to communicate is when we eat or consume the Word of God, it's sweet with the revelation of God's grace and the promises that it gives to believers. And, and it's in contrast with that which to unbelievers is bitter. It brings divine judgment on them. And so we have the bitterness, the sweetness in contrast to the bitterness.
Amen. That is correct. But it can also be bitter to us if we don't follow what God has asked us to do, too.
Judgment, judgment. And God is not a respecter.
Right, right. It can be sweet as we're taking it in, but if we don't follow through with what God is asking us to do and how God is asking us to be, it can become bitter for that who's taking it in as well.
Right.
We need to be mindful of that.
Right.
This is Joan in Maine. Another thing that I have understand on the reading of this is as much as you wanted to give us the blessings of any kind of ways, so nothing impossible of, but in the eyes of ours, it is very impossible. The only thing that he wants from us is if you wanted to gain this blessing of any kind, you could be fly like a bird or anything like that, be pure and I will. You know, and once you have the pure in heart and mind and soul, I mean, he could just, okay, do this for me. You're just so close to him, just like Moses and everyone that he had talked with. Just going to be like that. So nothing is really, that's what I look for. It's a matter of being pure. I mean, when we say pure, it's so hard for us to do it. But when it's very, very simple.
We only have a few minutes left. Thank you, Joan. That's awesome. You reminded me of something when you said Moses, because Moses, when he was talking about Moses also made a mistake, and he took in some sweetness and bitterness and that he couldn't cross over to the promised land. But what I wanted to do was to move us, Eric, on to talk about the two witnesses and close off with that so that we can be ready for chapter 12 next week. We have about 5 minutes to dwell on this.
Okay, so the John is, in chapter 11, John is asked to measure the temple, but not to measure the courtyard, because that's going to be turned over to the nations for 42 months, which we all know is 3.5 years. But then God sends his two witnesses, and these two witnesses prophesy and tell of God's authority and power for how long?
42 months.
42 months.
42 months and 3.5 days.
Well, that's how long they lie dead in the street.
And during this time, the earthquake killed 7,000 individuals.
Yeah,
from God, nothing right. Yes.
But we talked about these two witnesses, and while we don't specifically know who they are, we do know that
two individuals.
Yeah, but we read that in not Amos. Forgive me.
So, well, go ahead and look at that and then we'll go on.
Yeah, but we read that in one of the old prophets, Amos, I believe it was. But they have this power to. Go ahead, Dr. Susan.
I was just saying that when we talked about the temple and how he was supposed to measure that while others could come into the outer court, only the priest could enter into those two temple rooms, only the priest. And this is really important. And that the explanation is that because it's under the control of the Gentiles, who would trample on the holy city for 42 months. That's weird. So John is measuring the temple. Measurement is usually taken of one's possession, and the temple belongs to God, kind of the way we saw Ezekiel 40, when he asked to measure, and New Jerusalem was measured, and we looked further on last week. I think you brought up, Eric, Revelation 21, where the temple, it says, will be constructed so that the Orthodox Jew can offer sacrifices according to the Mosaic law in the period, in the first half of the seven-year period known as Daniel's 70th week at the beginning of the tribulation. And that's why everybody tells you the way that you know when the time is near is when you start seeing the sacrifices being offered in the temple. And those are things that we can look for. And my understanding, I think Mateo was going to look that up. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. But it says that the sacrifice will stop, and then the temple will be desecrated and become a shrine for the world ruler of, you know, the Great Tribulation. And that's where he claims himself as God.
So this Brother Mateo, just 2 points real quick, just to validate that, yes, they did sacrifice an animal at the temple already, so that's been validated. And two,
when did they do that? Do you remember?
Earlier in 2019. I'll text it over to you. I don't know the exact date. I'm trying to think of two things at one time. Would you like me to send that over to you so you can have it for next week?
Yeah, send it to me and I'll get it out to the group. Yeah.
Okay. And the other thing is just so everyone notice, like, some neatness that God does. The 42 months, the 1,260 days, and 3.5 years, all the same amount of time. Just in case everybody didn't know that. It's all the same amount of time. It's just worded differently. I thought that was neat.
Yeah, absolutely. So the two witnesses are witnessing against those who are shunning God and turning away from God. They have the power to kill everybody. And then once they're dead, the whole world celebrates. The technology that Brian discussed earlier, everybody in the whole world can see them lying in the streets and they celebrate. It says they give gifts to each other because they're not being tormented anymore. They're not being, they're not being told of their sins anymore, and they're happy and they're celebrating. And as they lay there, God calls them up, they get up, and they ascend into heaven as Christ did. And so what the world thought was their death and destruction is actually their glorification.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go into the seventh trumpet.
Right. During this time, it's saying the first half of those last 7 years, Jews actually possessed the city of Jerusalem. And we got to understand that there's been always fighting about Jerusalem. So when Jews possessed the city of Jerusalem and began to worship in the temple, then it's saying this is the context that talks about the period when the Gentiles tread down the holy city and ill treatment of the Jews, and that's when we get another desecration of the temple. So we had a period of peace. We get a period in which this world ruler comes and is doing this stuff without a sword. We get where the Jews are in possession of the temple, and then we get a desecration of the temple and a turning of that person who was the world leader peacefully into who he truly is.
And we will start to study that in next week. But in the seventh trumpet, this is the beginning. This is the transition to the seven bowls, the seven vials, which we will get into in actually 14. But also in there, there's also, again, this praise of the 24 elders and the people in heaven that are praising God. And they're praising God because God has now revealed exactly what's going to be done. There's no more playing. I'm going to redeem my people. I'm going to dress the ones who have been martyred in white robes, and all of the folks who have died in Christ are going to be raptured, and everybody's going to be a part of God's victorious
Jesus return, and God has said right now, okay, at the beginning, at the end of the seventh trumpet, it's starting, time to roll.
Amen.
And there was this old there, and I want to leave with this. I worked in the car business for a lot of years, one time building cars, one time selling cars, but it used to be an old commercial from Chrysler. It says, lead, follow, or get out of the way. My summation to all of us is that we need to be following Christ.
Because
if not, we're going to be out of the way permanently in hell. Because it is real.
It is real. I agree.
And the only thing we should be leading is others to Christ. So with that, I'll turn it back to you, Dr. Susan.
Amen, amen, amen. And tonight we want those of you who have been listening to the Word of God and who are excited and ready to delve in, we challenge you. Pick up your Bible, read for yourself, seek, and God will provide you what you need. Do not just settle for what we say. Dig for yourself. Search the scriptures. Lead, what'd you say, Eric? Lead, follow, and what? Or get left
lead,
behind?
Lead, follow, or get out of the way.
Or get left behind. Or get out of the way. And so
this
is a time for you to make the decision if you want to get on board. If you've heard the word of God, if you believe it, you know, if you got something nudging you that's kind of pricking you and you're wondering, ooh, I need to consider these things, we ask that you take the time to dig, to study, and talk to God. This is about having a relationship with God that will set you free and empower you to live with God forevermore. And if you decide that you want to do that, we ask that you say, you know, Lord, here I am. I am listening to you as you're knocking upon the heart, the door of my heart. And you said, those who knock, seek, and you shall find, I will come in and sup with you. The Lord is saying that if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ died and rose again for you, and you believe that he has ascended and is at the right hand of the Father, and as he has died and been resurrected, so shall you. And in the last days when the trumpet sounds, you will meet him in the air and be with him as his child. Then you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you're saved. And so if you've said that, if you believe that in your heart, if you confess that, celebrate with us now because you belong to the Lord. What we do ask is that you get involved in a Bible-believing church, someplace where you can study and grow and worship and assemble. It's not the same with COVID-19. It is not. But if you want to join us, if you want to listen to the Word of God, if you want to interact with us, you are more than welcome. And so we ask you to join us on Tuesdays as we offer the Word of God on Tuesdays. And also, Brett, what's the other number that they can call them if they want to join us on church?
That number is 1-872-701-0185. I'll repeat that. 1-872-701-0185. Then you have to enter in this code, and the code is 7308-06367. I'll repeat that also. 7308-06367. Back to you, Dr.
All
so
right. Next week we'll be studying Revelation 12, and I recommend that you read it during the daytime because it'll give you nightmares.
Amen. Amen. Brett, you want to close us
Amen.
Out? Amen. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Susie. I just want to add one thing. If you said that prayer with Dr. Susie, make sure that you're ready to make that commitment, because committing Christ is what you have to do, and you have to surrender. So next Tuesday, bring somebody or invite somebody, and remember our phone number is 646-478-4932. And remember, Dr. Susie is the host and moderator. So thank you for joining us once again, and may God be with you.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.